Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's nighttime, and we three witches have gathered away from the town, away from the village, off into the woods in our little witch circle. And with that, I lay out my hard shell taco shell.
No.
And we will begin our incantation.
Wait,
what?
Hold on. Here's the thing. At least it wasn't a soft taco, because that's just going to drip everything.
Well, I'm not an idiot.
Right.
That's basically.
So, I'm sorry. Are you talking like just a taco shape, or like a taco bowl? Or
you got
not
me
even
good.
A taco?
Just a taco.
Just a taco. It's going to fall out the sides.
We have to hold it very level. Which I'll do, and then put your whatever. What do you have for? What do you have on deck for spell stuff today?
I have some. I have newt.
Oh, of course.
I have some
boring
drippy bat goop.
Bat goop. Okay, that's going to be a good one. Okay, let's do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. You got to
name a better container for a liquid.
A taco bowl. I just said it. A taco bowl even is better than a taco.
Those are so. Do you eat the bowl?
Yes!
Are you the kind of witch that eats this bread bowl after you finish the soup? Because who does that?
Oh, no, you let the soup soak into the... Why are we talking about this?
I'm
Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are listening to the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina, a podcast about chilling adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. And boy, oh boy, we are getting towards the end here, you guys. We are almost done. We're going to be talking about the 9th episode of the series.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting. Peter,
recap so we can get to the shit. I'm fucking dying to talk about this.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Wow, you're rude.
Yep.
You know what? That's it. You're a rude
fucking recap.
Dude. Okay, great. Why don't we get into it and recap and talk about it, and we can do that any second now.
So what happened? Do you need a sec?
Actually, I'm looking up the title of the episode. That's just taking me 1 second.
I gotcha.
It is the Returned Man.
Thank you. Chapter 9, The Returned Man. Leading into this episode, Sabrina Spellman is a witch. She is doing a lot of witchy stuff. Yep. One of those witchy things is her boyfriend's brother, Tommy, died in a mine, and she tried to bring him back to life by tricking death. She's previously tried
he
to trick
was killed
the devil.
By witches, though. It wasn't like he just accidentally died.
Sure, he was killed by two witches, Agatha and Dorcas. So to get his soul back, she killed Agatha and then buried her in a cane pit, which is a mystical patch of dirt out back.
Oldest
behind the Spellman mortuary.
Yeah.
And he may or may not have come back to life. We'll find out very shortly about that. But Agatha did come back to life. So Sarita was like, I did it. I tricked death. And at the very end of the episode, we heard knock, knock, knock on the door. Very alarming. Seemed like Tommy probably came back wrong.
Not a normal knocking on a regular door.
No. Couple of other little details. Harvey's father is a terrible drunk who likes to hit his kids a lot.
Yeah.
Also, Sabrina has two friends, Susie and Roz. Susie's been kind of hanging out with her ghost aunt, Dorothea. Also, Roz has a thing called the cunning. She is losing her actual eyesight, but getting a second sight that gives her visions into things. Sabrina does know that. Nobody knows Sabrina is a witch, up until now, at least.
Yeah.
And back on the witch side of things, there's Aunt Zelda, who struck up a little bit of an affair with Father Blackwood, the head of the coven.
Wow, wow.
And also the head of the Academy of the Unseen Arts.
Yep.
Yes. She has another aunt named Aunt Hilda who works at a bookstore called Cerebus Books. She dresses up as a Bride of Frankenstein. And there's Ambrose, who has recently been semi-released from his captivity in the house. He is now allowed to have a job at the Academy of the Unseen Arts. And he has a little bit of a boyfriend named Luke.
Luke. Good old Luke. Luke helped him get out of his...
And also, we should mention the hero of the show, Nick Scratch. He's a beautiful bad boy who is
oh boy.
Very...
No, we-
is the part where I yell at you, but actually in this episode, it for the first time ever proves that.
Ooh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Welcome
we got
to the dark side.
Ian LePage, John Boyd with Nick Scratch.
Okay, I'm not on board. I'm just saying he did something nice for Sabrina.
We got a Scratchman over
here. Yeah.
No,
Pete's got a scratch and he's got to itch it.
So last episode.
But wait, hold on. One last thing. We got to talk about Madam Satan. This is how recaps work, bro. Madam Satan, a.k.a. Madam Mrs. Wardwell. Yes, I almost said Madam Goldberg, but that's you.
That's me. That's me. hey, guys, let's never forget that.
Miss Wardwell has been manipulating things behind the scene, slowly eroding Sabrina's morals so that she eventually will sign the Dark Book of Satan and join the Church of Night of her own volition that presumably will let Satan out of his prison or something like that. You know, end of the world, whatever that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, hit it.
Okay, so end of the last episode. These giant, creepy knocks that sounds like a zombie knock. Then the start of this episode, it's just the light. I was so pissed because it was clearly not the same knock.
Well, but then the idea was it was a bit of a time dash, and it's Sabrina at the door who enters, and Tommy's already inside.
Right.
So his knock was still scary.
Do you think it was a time dash? I don't think it was.
It was supposed to be Sabrina knocking the whole time.
Yeah, I think it was picking up. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was funny, too.
It made me super mad.
It was a great way to cut the tension. But in the end of last episode, Tommy hasn't returned yet, and there's a knock on the door.
No, I think what happened was at the end of last episode, we didn't know that Tommy was back.
Yeah.
They were just sitting there kind of sadly. And then Sabrina was the one knocking at the door, and then they cut there, and it turns out it is, in fact, Sabrina, which... hilarious reveal.
Very fun.
Not fun. There was like tension and then stupidity, which I was really disappointed
I love
with.
That. I loved cutting through the tension immediately like that.
I agree. Yeah. It was awesome.
Nope. Totally.
So she's like, hey, what's up? Every time just coming over. And
hey,
he's like,
just
hey,
wanted
my,
to see you.
My brother popped up. No one's really super jazzed.
What I like about the way that they begun this episode, the large majority of this episode is about breaking Sabrina down and breaking down all the lies that she's made with absolutely everybody and showing how they've gotten stretched so thin. So for her to come in right at the beginning of the episode, and we've already established she's a terrible liar, for her to come in and do that, like, hi, how's everything going? Hi, hi, hi. It was a great way to show how stressed out she was already.
Yeah.
And it starts it, even with that joke at the beginning, at a very high place for her.
Yeah. Agreed. But moving on we have Ambrose.
He's picking out outfits. Like, what do you think of this?
He's very
excited.
Can't
wait to get out of the house. Because if you're trapped in a house for 75 years, like, getting out of the house is a big deal.
Definitely. You got to dress your best. Even
if you're one of the biggest deals,
astral project. So, yes, that's fun. Everyone's in a good place. Zelda and Blackwood are just like, getting it on.
But
with
then he gives you, we got to keep this a secret, which is heartbreaking. And then he's like, can you do this for me? And she's like very excited. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, can you do all the work as well that my wife was doing?
But I think she is genuinely, it's clear that she wants, or she likes or loves Father Blackwood and wants a relationship.
But he's clearly abusing power.
He's abusing her, but I think what he is dangling in front of her pretty clearly is, if Lady Blackwood dies in birth, you're going to become my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he is promising her, essentially. And he's like, just real quick, take all of her responsibilities for when she dies in childbirth so that eventually you can become my wife.
Yeah. It was because she went from being very excited to be
I agree with you. He is doing classic abuser gaslighting behavior towards her, where she's completely blinded by being in love with him. We've already established he's had multiple affairs before.
Yeah. He talks about the good old days.
Which is a polyamorous creep.
Yeah. Super, super, you know, evil dude.
Who do you think changed that rule?
Yeah, so, you know who the real Nick Scratch is? Father Blackwood getting his dick scratched.
Jesus Christ, Selwyn.
That's a fun accent you had there for a second.
You like that?
Getting your dick hurt.
Anyways, moving on.
Alex is shooting two pistols in the air every time he makes a sexual reference. So Zelda's going to take over.
Support gun control, except in the case of hilarious sexual references.
Ambrose gives Sabrina a good stern talking to about how she's playing with fire, and she's like, no, a couple days, it'll be fine. Everything will be great in a couple days.
I just tricked death.
Yeah, you can't trick death.
Yeah.
And never.
I mean, you can defy death.
Yeah, for a little bit.
So far, so good.
Death wins.
Aren't we all death-defying, really, all the time?
Right now, we are.
Yeah.
I defy you, death. by taping this podcast.
Yo, imagine you just died right now.
Don't talk shit to death.
That would be fucked up.
Fucking, don't bring that shit
here. I'll tell you what. If I die during this podcast, please release it.
Cool. Glad we have that tape.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, keep going, finish up the episode, finish recapping the episode, and then release the episode.
Cool. Okay. Finish the episode with your body here.
With my dead body here.
Okay.
I want this to be my legacy.
Oh, man.
Not
even the 10th episode of Sabrina Podcast.
The ninth episode. God, I wish they finished.
So poor Agatha is coughing up grave dirt.
Agatha, one of the weird sisters who was killed, as Alex said, she's back to life, not feeling so hot, coughing up dirt and some other gross stuff.
What I like about this is we're slowly learning more about each of the weird sisters. We now know a lot about Prudence. We know a lot about her motivations because they focused on her. We know that Agatha is the one who coughs up dirt, and we know that Dorcas is the other one.
Yeah. Dorcas still not a lot of personality.
And then your bad boy projects into Sabrina's room, and she's just wearing a bathrobe.
Bad boy alert. That Nick Scratch. Man, wasn't I jealous that Nick Scratch has...
Well, I know I'm focusing on this astral projection thing a lot, but...
Showed up at least.
The psychopomp showed up, which is good, but it seems like everybody's like very casually astral projecting. Like they made a big deal about it the first time, and now people are like, oh yeah, I'm just going to astral project over here. Yeah.
I think we have to see... what a psychopomp does by the end. And we have one episode left. Like someone's going to mess up an astral projection. I would have to
We
think.
Might not get it this season, but you know,
I feel, eventually. I mean, the way Netflix releases their shows, people who are listening to this may have already, they may know, probably know they've seen all the episodes. Yeah. So we sound like idiots, but I really think if it's a huge missed opportunity if they don't show these birds
a lot.
Devouring
literally every episode they've talked about it, and in this episode in particular they amp it up again. Like they just sort of casually did a cash astral projection in the last episode, I think, if I remember correctly. But this one at least, like, there's bird after bird showing up, and he's like, oop, gotta go. Don't get psychopomped.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And then Sabrina's like, hey, Salem, keep an eye on Harvey, protect him. So I thought it was pretty sweet. She sent her familiar over to
keep an eye on. And Salem got to watch Tommy doing some tickling of the mirror.
Yeah. He really likes scratching
things. Now, what do you think of that?
A little scratch and sniff.
What do you think Tommy scratching on the mirror is about there, or whatever that thing is?
They hinted, especially when Ambrose is kind of doing the looking at the morgue body, that like somebody's clawed to death. I think that he like turns into a monster or something. So I think like that scratching is part of it.
So you think he was hungry for human flesh himself?
Yeah, and he saw himself in the mirror. He was like,
I'll eat that shit. I feel like there's a little...
Because he scratches himself a lot. It's like there's a picture of himself, he starts scratching it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like...
Do you think he's the real Nick Scratch?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Maybe that's the secret. I feel like he was sort of trying to scratch to... He sees himself and he's trying to get back his soul or get back his life.
I think there's that. There's also a weird thing that happens immediately afterwards where Harvey tells this story about getting lost in a hall of mirrors.
That was so crazy, right? That story, the casually just being like, I got lost in a hall of mirrors?
Well,
I was like,
so, yes, what I'm saying is I think he mentions that. It's weird that he mentions it until you think back on Tommy scratching the mirror. And in a very similar way, Tommy is lost in this hall of mirrors, metaphorically speaking. Like you said, he can't find his soul. He is trying to find himself again. And as we find out later... It's not exactly a hall of mirrors. We head to this smoke land, but it's the same sort of thing where it's people wandering around unable to find an exit.
Yeah,
so that's the theme there. That's why Harvey is telling that story.
It's also a crazy fucking story, just be casually. Remember that time I got stuck in a hall of mirrors? I was like, that is such a creepy image. And Tommy is constantly saving him. And that's why it's like so important that like if Tommy's really dead, Harvey's in a lot of trouble. Like if he can't even survive a hall of mirrors, this character's in a lot of trouble.
You always tell that story about getting your head stuck in one of the ghosts of the Haunted Mansion, right?
How do you know that story?
You tell that story on every single podcast.
Yeah, it is weird. You find a way.
You always work it into every conversation. Where we're like, sorry guys, I got stuck on the way over here. And you're like, oh, here's a time I got stuck.
It really makes a lot of sense in context when you do it.
Susie's dad is like, hey, who are you talking to? And she's talking to her ghost friend. You know?
Yes. That's, again, to me, this is like total bells going off that it's Madam Satan.
It's super weird. And yeah. the way that Susie is acting about it is also
super weird.
But
she's the first one to find out that Spellmans are witches.
Right. But she seems completely enchanted. Like, we haven't had the moment where she's like, what the fuck? There's a ghost here.
Yeah.
Instead, she's like, nice, ghost dad.
But I do, later on in the episode, well, she steals a book, which seems like that's not something she would normally do.
Yeah.
And that seems like
the
Dorothea is asking for,
yeah.
trying to get her into trouble, perhaps. And then also Dorothea is pressing Susie for information
yes.
later. So like that seems like that's not
Madam Satan stuff.
That's right. something.
The other thing that I think it points to, and we touched on this in an earlier episode, is as much as Sabrina needs her human friends need Sabrina. Because without her, in her absence, when she's running around trying to fix Harvey's life, they're all spinning out of control. Like they cannot hold on to anything, and they're panicking. They're consulting ghosts and stealing books for them.
Yeah.
They're using their psychic powers. They're freaking out about everything.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that detail that it isn't just like, that Sabrina is important, but it feels like in a very different way, where it's not like, we need Sabrina to solve this problem. It's more, she is an integral part of our friend group, and without her, something is so missing, it sends us off in other directions.
And even beyond that, like, it's important that Sabrina does keep a foot in both of these worlds, so that they both can remain in balance.
Yeah.
So moving on, Madam Satan waxes a little poetic
at
Sabrina.
Did you feel that wind last night? Did you hear all those dogs howling at once?
Like, surely you didn't use that book, but it was a crazy night, weather-wise, right?
Yeah.
So clearly, just like that was just a fun little scene of coyness, I thought.
And yeah, again, she's just completely manipulating Sabrina, 100%. And it's crazy that Sabrina doesn't pick up on any of that. But
well, here's my theory based on this episode. We've been talking about Harvey as the Archie of the episode. I think Sabrina is the Archie of this series.
Oh, yeah, she's
Sabrina makes a lot of very dumb choices. Almost constantly the wrong choice, and has no self-awareness about it at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
doubles down on it, usually.
Yes. And makes it worse. It would, without listening to anybody else, is like, I've decided this is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I like that theory.
Yeah.
Sabrina runs up on Roz, and Roz is like, hey, I need your help. Roz is like, yo, I had this weird dream. And then she's like, was it a dream or was it one of your visions?
It is crazy. It seems like Roz is having a lot of her cunning and losing a little bit of her vision.
Yeah.
Because the cunning is going on big time.
Yeah, and her vision seems fine.
Yeah. Well,
you don't know. They're not spending a lot of time on her, like, bumping into walls and stuff.
Right, which I can't wait for.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. The Hellhounds.
It'll be like she's stuck in a hall of mirrors all the time.
Oh, that's right.
Man, dude.
Pete is legitimately afraid of that.
Oh, sorry about that.
So we have the Hellhounds ripping apart the body of Tommy Kinkle in her vision. I thought was
fucked
up.
Harvey though, right?
I think it was Tommy.
Oh,
yeah.
Whatever it was, it was one of the Kinkle boys.
It was one of those Kinkle boys, and aren't they pretty much interchangeable? Ambrose meets with Luke and Blackwood and gets a familiar by the name of Leviathan.
Yeah, and it's like, you've got this amazing... And then it hands him a little mouse. And I was like, oh, that fucking sucks.
No!
Mouse? You can't be like, yo, mouse, go over to Harvey's house. It would take 2 weeks for that little mouse to get there.
I think it would fly or something.
It would gobble
its way there.
Yeah.
I do think it sets up a fun dynamic between Salem and Leviathan.
Do you think Salem's going to eat Leviathan?
Maybe attempt to, and then Leviathan's going to be like, whap!
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think that could be fun.
And then Salem will be like, oh, I want is a little nibble.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's great. What is the name of that mouse character that you do?
The mouse character?
Yeah.
The mouse character is like, oh, mouse gets the cheese.
But there was that weird moment where Sabrina's like, hey, listen, Roz, I need you to go and touch Tommy. I need you to, like, touch him.
Test. We set that up to going forward, which we'll get there in a second. Luke and Ambrose are having a pretty great makeout session in what I assume is another regular student lounge.
Can I mention one of my favorite things about doing a podcast with Pete is Pete gets excited about things that are happening 2 scenes after what Justin is describing and then immediately wants to talk about them.
Well, I wanted to back up because...
Oh, okay. All right. That's all right. Sorry.
Did you guys... Father Blackwood this whole time had a cane with a white rabbit's head on it?
Yes. I saw it. I noticed that, and it's very cool.
Was like, was that been there the whole time? Because it kind of was like almost featured a little bit in this one.
It was in that shot when he had it in
the first episode. That's how he was introduced. He was curling his hand around the cane.
But it's definitely featured in that shot.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Do you think you'll be a cane guy eventually, Pete?
Oh, I can't wait to be a cane guy.
I felt that.
Yeah.
Do you want us to break one of your legs right now?
Go ahead and try, see what happens.
Nice. I asked you. If you just say no, I won't do it.
You can have a cane without having a fucked up leg,
man. Exactly.
You can just You're thinking of crutches.
That's a bigger step.
Oh, right.
When you get old, you can just have a cane because it's fun.
But that made me think, when I broke
my leg, I was like, give me the old two canes.
Because Father Black was talking about familiar. We've never seen his familiar. He had a white rabbit cane, and I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if that is his familiar. And I wanted to know if
Do you think the cane is his familiar?
No, not the cane, but I had a rabbit's head, so I thought maybe if he has a rabbit, he probably got a cane.
Okay, that can make sense.
Yeah, totally.
Because a cane would be like, that's not an animal.
Yeah, that would be a bad familiar. Cane, sit there against the wall. I'll handle this.
My familiar is a chair.
Luke and Ambrose making out, and then
doing a little bit more than making out.
They're getting after it. In a chill student lounge, obviously, because there's like 9 fireplaces in the room, and that's when the stakes start to get higher with our death problem that we have going. Slowly, we're getting there, but then we have this great scene where.
We should mention also that it's Nick Scratch, Prudence, and Dorcas come and recruit Luke and Ambrose to help them out with the problem, which is neat. Like, I like all of them teaming up, all of them working on a problem together. There's so many different things in areas of the show. It's not like it's just like magic school or witch who lives in a mortuary. There's a lot of different ideas
and
that
everyone
are going around.
Is closing in on the school. Zelda's at the school now, Ambrose at the school. So it feels like a lot of the action is moving there in a fun way.
Which I like.
The next scene is an amazing scene at the bookshop.
Yeah, I knew you were going to love this.
Yeah, so like we see Susie get picked on and she called Dyke Girl, which was like, oh, that's fucked up. But then Hilda comes in swinging, starts talking shit about him his whole life. And that was just amazing to watch him like lose color in his face and like run away.
Yeah.
I do think there was a nice balancing act in the scene because I kept coming to the brink of being uncomfortable about what she was talking about in a real world perspective, just in terms of the idea of like, hey, maybe don't shame that guy for being gay. What do you think? But the way things were worded, it never went into being bad.
Yeah.
She doesn't say it's wrong of you to feel this way.
Exactly. She's very much like, you're hassling this person because of your issues and your secrets.
Exactly.
And I thought it was handled very well. Yeah.
Very well and very powerful. And it was fantastic to see.
Yeah. Hilda's great. Zelda's great. Good ass.
Yeah. Great ants. Hilda, well, so we, the earth is old as soul and it means to collect is the line that I think Hilda says.
Because Hilda prescribes fizzy water.
Yeah. Because they bring her in to help solve their problem.
Like, earth needs a soul, she says, which I was like, holy shit.
And she's like, let's keep all these people busy while we handle this internally because Sabrina fucked up and we need to fix this.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool, let's keep the family tight. Hilda has some of the manipulative qualities of Zelda, but she's like the bright
side
of those.
Yeah.
And then we get to see Roz and Sabrina go over to the Kinkle residence to try to get Roz to touch Tommy and see what he's up to.
And that was funny the way Sabrina got around the room, like, oh, is he eating?
Well, they're playing
soup.
They're playing a fun game of football outside first where...
Oh, my God, that catch was bananas. Hey, watch this.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
So I watched that, and I thought, I know we're talking about it, that Tommy has a problem. I think... Put him out for football, you know?
Well, I mean, he has that scholarship.
Full scholarship in Notre Dame.
Honestly.
You can see why.
And let me be honest.
Very talented
ever
hands.
Ever since he lost his...
He's even half the guy he was. And he's still making amazing catches.
Ever since he lost his soul, he reminds me a lot of Eli Manning.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Because he just sits there sort of blank-faced.
Right. That's the sort of burn that might work much better in another room than this one.
I'm hoping someone listening to this gets the burn on that.
Yeah, I'm a Giants fan, so fuck you.
Okay, I thought you were a Giants fan, so I was like, yeah, well, surely that should have burned you.
I was not going to engage because that was fucking bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit. It's just because Eli is always like, I don't know what's happening, but he's good at football.
Yeah, great. Make fun of people who don't look intelligent. That's great, dude.
He is intelligent. He just looks like he doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah, make fun of his looks, dude.
I thought it was mostly interesting.
He's trying his best out there. Wow. I thought it was not good enough for you.
For someone that didn't react when I said it the first time, you saw
all of a sudden. Well, you asked for this fight, so don't fucking back down now, you fucking dick.
What I liked about this moment was...
Two-time fucking MVP Super Bowl champion? Motherfucker? Yeah, you talk shit. With your fat ass from the chair.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, get off my familiar, asshole. Yeah,
this is Alex's. I'm sitting in Alex's chair.
Yes, I do want to mention, though, I know you guys are talking about sports or whatever, but my experience with sports, I like the fact that we know now from popular media that werewolves are very good at basketball, and now we know that zombies are very good at football.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was great.
That's good, the canon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Roz does grab his hands, sees an old woman that we don't really know who that is, Fog, and baby's crying.
Yeah. But Roz isn't telling Sabrina what she saw. She's not giving her the whole truth.
Well, and I thought that was weird because when I first saw the scene, I was like, oh, that looks like Sabrina aged. Yeah.
Right.
And it was like when she opened her mouth and it was Sabrina's voice. So. Yeah.
But it's not. Well, it was Sabrina's mom.
Yes, as we learn later.
Funny. Sabrina's mommy.
Okay,
weird. And then Dad was home. Everybody ran from their lives because they're like, we don't want to get beat.
Yeah, that guy's trouble.
Yeah.
So and we learn minutes later with Hilda confronting Sabrina that Tommy Soul's in purgatory. Mm-hmm. And then Ambrose is like, yo, something's fucked up in the embalming room. Lots happening. We jump out of that scene in an odd way and head to Zelda, who is just loving choir practice. Yeah. Everyone's singing. Great time until Agatha comes in and is like, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Help me.
Bad dirt. So then they have to reveal everything to Zelda and Blackwood, and they're like, oh, this is fucked
not
up.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, but they're working together kind of like parents a little bit.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I had to say about
Dark Lord's like, no, yo, I'm going to kill fucking Tommy. Fuck this guy.
I love the scene with Tommy, Harvey, and the father.
Well, I got to say, before you get to that, Auntie Z stepping up to the man that she loves and will do anything for to be like, please let me handle this.
Let me handle this.
Because she knows if the Dark Lord's going to do it, bodies are going to get dropped, and you know, Sabrina's going to
let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah.
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 Let the bodies hit the floor.
And then we realize we learn that in the embalming room, there's a bunch of bite marks on the old miners, and that Tommy is hungry for people. Very much reminded me of Afterlife with Archie, which I thought was pretty cool.
I'm actually surprised that we didn't get more of the zombie stuff this episode.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this at the end of the last episode, but I thought this was going to be a full-fledged Afterlife with Archie style zombie epidemic in the town, but far from it. No. Like, not even close to that happening. It was sort of like casual details thrown in.
Yeah, Tommy didn't bite anybody. He almost bit his dad, but it didn't happen. The dad punches Harvey. Oh. Tommy almost like chokes the dad to death. So that's pretty crazy. And then I love this scene. Sabrina goes home and mentions, and she's confronted by from Hilda and Zelda, and like, what the fuck are you doing? She mentions you got the book from Mrs. Wardwell.
Yeah. Which nobody's like, Madam Satan.
Yeah. They're like, Miss Wardwell, who is just a regular person to them, which seems weird that Hilda and Zelda aren't a little more aware of who the fuck she is.
Because she has a fucking spell book.
Yeah. I love the line, we are in a grave digging deeper, Hilda says.
Also, I love how Hilda sticks up for Auntie Z. Was like, don't you talk to her like that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. It was good. So
she's
Sabrina,
like, I did it for Harvey.
Sabrina goes to the one person who will help her, Madam Satan. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Also, Auntie Z calling Sabrina a murderer. Yeah. She's like, you murderer. And she was like, it was only for a few minutes. I was like, oh, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah. That was a great scene. And we talked a little bit about Sabrina and what's the actress who plays her and her acting choices being sort of a little
Kieran
bit
Chipka?
Yeah, Kieran Chipka. And she really...
It's amazing that you can't remember that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why.
It's a weird mental block.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's just one I can't get. And she, I thought, did that scene was very good.
Really good.
From everybody
involved. She's been killing it. In the last couple of episodes.
Literally sometimes. Hey. In the case of Agatha.
Zelda is self-flagellating a little bit. Hilda sees her and is like, yo, chill. They're dealing with the fact that I think Zelda feels like that she's not doing a good job raising Sabrina.
Well, she says that, like, I've lost her, that I'm losing Sabrina.
So sad. It's a beautiful auntie moment, though, at the end, where they're just kind of hugging each other and being like,
we've talked about this quite a bit on the podcast, but in particular, Zelda has had one of the most interesting arcs over the course of this series.
Yeah.
She has grown from being just the mean witch aunt into so much more and so deeper, and Miranda Otto is doing such a lovely job with that role.
Yep, they both are.
Let's jump to the stuff with Madame Satan and how she leads her into purgatory.
So I do want to say one other thing before we get there. Blackwood has Prudence and Dorcas go to kill Tommy to put an end to this.
Yes.
Disregarding Zelda. And who's there? Nick Scratch pins him to the earth by driving stakes in the footprints. Great moment. Great scene.
I could not believe that. I was finally like, well, fucking Zalbin was right. This guy isn't as bad as
Thank you. Thank you for saying that I was right, but not recognizing that Justin was also right.
Yeah. Well, he'll get there someday.
Maybe.
Who's the one who does the bad boy alerts? JT Sizz.
You're talking about Madam Goldberg?
Madam Goldberg knows when the bad boys enter the room.
Yeah. Hey, man, now that we're friends again, you want me to break that leg?
No.
Just let me know.
Don't worry, Alex.
Let me know when you're ready.
That's never going to be a thing.
Okay. Don't worry, Alex. As all good friends, he'll eventually come around and let you break his leg.
Nope.
But yes, to your point, the scene. Wardwell's like, no problem. I'll send you to purgatory. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to go to this part of the woods where there's a gateway to purgatory, which is very normal. It happens in the woods in my house.
Also, I have a piece of yarn. That
so
will
you're
going to
hold this yarn. I forget what story this is from, but a famous fairy tale.
Well, there's the yarn, the crumbs. I don't know if there's
yarn. No. There's the yarn in the purgatory?
Yeah.
Yeah, that story.
Oh, great. Yeah. Very famous myth. Yep.
I know what you're saying. There is a myth. And I'm
it's just so it dumb to me that it's like we're trusting yarn. Like, if I have Sabrina, I'm mumbling fucking spells all the time. I would have mumbled something about keeping that yarn straight.
Actually, sorry. I do need to mention this because my wife, who listens to this podcast, brought this up to me just because we're talking about yarn right now.
Yeah.
Roz's grandmother is not knitting. She's crocheting.
Oh, man. That's the kind of comments that rip us to pieces.
Yeah. I'm sorry, baby. I love you.
Alex's marriage has been on the rocks. He got the knitting versus crocheting.
Since the last podcast.
Oh, man, yes.
I can't believe we're talking about yarn again, man. Are you going to be all right?
I think so, as long as we don't explain what that yarn is being used
for. Yeah, what type of wool do you think that yarn is, Alex?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is
Merino
it wool?
Lamb's wool? I hope so.
If it isn't, I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
So she goes into this cloud world. She sees her mom, which is a big surprise.
Yeah.
And I love this conversation she has because the mom's like, oh, and the soul leader's coming. So they don't have a long time to talk. Her mom's like, I had you baptized so you wouldn't be part of this witch world. Because
that's a big reveal.
And I think maybe we're going to learn that she knew the witches. She was going to be killed by these witches. And so she tried to protect her daughter by having
her. Well, there's still the whole Peter Parker thing that's going on with her parents, where her parents, quote unquote, died in a plane crash. But as we know with Peter Parker, his parents were actually super spies who were ostensibly killed in the plane crash, escaped from the plane crash, and then later turned out to be robots.
Cool. That's definitely what's happening here. And that story, obviously fundamental to the Spider-Man origin. Definitely not
people
something.
People refer to it all the time.
Yeah,
which was insane.
All the reboots are like, make sure we do the robot parents.
All right, so somehow Sabrina actually finds Tommy, which is insane to me with all those souls just running around, and she actually gets him. And then...
Well, it's a lot of babies and then a couple adults.
Okay, whatever.
It'd be like running a daycare.
I don't know. It's foggy in there. I don't know how she could find anybody. Anyway, so the fact that she ran into her mom and Tommy, I thought was pretty amazing.
That's like, it's like New York, though. You know, you're walking around. You're like, this is a big city. I'm never going to see everybody know. Whoa, it's my mom and Tommy.
Yeah.
So she grabs Tommy, runs back. And this, I thought, was like, you're bringing up this thing, the soul eater. And then it was like, she goes back through the portal and he disappears. The soul disappears. And I thought, oh, maybe the soul's going back into Tommy. But Madame Satan's just like, nope, soul eater. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was
a horrible gross effect, though, what he had.
True.
Absolutely disgusting. In exactly the right way.
Yeah.
Wait, what? There was nothing. It was just a disappearing of...
No, he completely disintegrated and dissolved into like this flesh blood thing. It was gross.
What? I thought it was just when she came out of the tree trunk and then the soul just evaporated.
Yeah, but it sort of turned into meat.
Yeah, it was kind of like ripped apart.
I think that was a reference to the Roz's vision of the dogs ripping it apart. It was the same like type.
Kind
of.
Or it could have been a reference to the meat closet, which we talked about a couple of episodes back.
We definitely keep coming back to that by popular demand from the listeners at home. You would get paid.
Hey, if you guys, last episode we made a shirt for Witches Ain't Snitches, which you can pick up at comicbookclub.threadless.com. This is for real. We actually made a shirt of this.
Yeah.
If you guys want me to make a meat closet shirt, you just let me know. I'll make it any second.
Please
now.
Don't.
Yep. Great. Good luck on
Please
the hashtag of
don't.
That. So where were we? So then Wardwell is like, you have to go tell. And I think she's banking on, because she's trying to get Harvey to
she knows, freak out.
She knows that Harvey is the main thing that keeps Sabrina from committing to the Dark Lord right. and being in the witch world. And
so
she's
once
banking,
Harvey rejects her,
she wants her to tell him the truth, banking on the idea that their love is not true.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be her fatal flaw in the next episode.
Love always wins, bro.
That's what they say. We see Susie and Roz at the bookstore where they find out, they talk about how that Sabrina is a witch. So that sort of comes out.
Yeah, that's
pretty
big
casually.
Deal.
Yeah.
Man, Satan's sitting there loving it, enjoying a shake.
Yeah. We've all questioned whether one of us is a witch in our time. I'm sure. Sabrina admits to Harvey. He remembered that she had told him before.
Yeah, like he did that before when she tried to mind wipe him.
He's not happy. He's like, I'll shoot him. I'll shoot Tommy.
That whole conversation, before we get into the shot or anything, that was the right kind of heartbreaking.
It was...
Such a reverse of the there's no flying without you in my life, Sabrina Spellman conversation for the first episode.
Yeah.
To see them break apart after that was awful.
Yeah.
It was so hard to watch.
I was a little worried when Sabrina walked away that Harvey has a gun and he's sad about his life and what he's got to do. He's got to kill. I'm just wondering if he turns that gun on himself. You know?
Oh, my God.
We heard a gunshot, but we didn't see what happened.
No, yeah, I think that's too dark.
All right.
Might have shot a
I mean,
pigeon.
He's just broken up with Sabrina. He's questioning what his life's going to be like. He's got to go kill a brother of some kind. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe he shot the mirror.
Yeah. We don't know what he shot is my long-winded point.
He might have shot Eli Manning.
Fuck you.
Like, if he happened to be there also. Not saying he's Tommy, but if he was also there.
Couldn't make him any worse of a football player, if you ask me. Yeah. Right, guys? Right,
Alex
boys?
Alex is on board. He read what we were talking about and then figured it out. That's context clues.
Yeah.
And then the last scene, we have Sabrina going home. Sabrina hears the shot as she's walking away.
Yeah.
Sad. Sabrina going home to find Zelda sitting on the porch. They hug. There's a storm brewing for the last episode. Question for you. What is Wardwell's plan here? Do you have any indication? Because I have a theory.
You're talking about Madam Satan?
Yeah.
Yes. What do you... Well, tell us. Stop playing so coy with us. Just tell us your theory.
I thought we could have a little conversation. But,
well, start the conversation. Then we'll get
but I don't
into
want to reveal mine. I want to hear yours.
Oh, you want to trick us.
Because I think mine's pretty good.
Oh, you think yours is better.
I do. So far, you don't have any.
Okay.
So.
My theory is that she wants to buy milkshakes for everybody. That's what I think is going on based on this episode.
No, I feel stupid.
Brings
that
all the boys to the yard. Is that what you're saying?
No. Why would you say that? Is that a reference to something?
Let's get Alex is losing it. Pete, do you have
The room is getting too hot that we're in. It's unbearable. I would think that the plan is that Sabrina being heartbroken is going to reject all of human life and focus on the witch life and then sign over her soul to Satan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'd think as well.
Here's what I think.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Good job, milkshake.
I throw my milkshake.
I think that Miss Wardwell, because she's been operating outside of the regular thing. I think she has she's more of a villain than she just doesn't want to have.
Yeah, can you go quicker? Could you say all of the words simultaneously?
Stop building up to it. Tell us what the fucking thing is.
He's telling us right now.
He's not. He's going, well, I'm going to, he's giving a backstory.
He's giving us, it's called a setup for
I don't want
Jesus
the setup.
Christ.
Just fucking tell me.
And now your complaining has made it go even longer.
It's too hot in here. You fuck. Tell me what it is.
Well, we shouldn't have met in an actual sauna at my local gym.
I'm sorry. I'm having a nice soak. I don't know about you guys.
I love a Svitz.
I'm going to punch you in the face if you don't fucking tell me.
So I'm glad you're so on board with my theory, and you're clearly into it. Here's what I think. Sit down. Jeez, I get it. You're a Giants fan. And you don't have much to stand up for this season. So,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm a Bills fan, so what am I doing? You know what I'm talking about, Pete. Anyway, so my theory is that Madam Satan wants to take over Sabrina's body. And she wants to inhabit her in the same way, the same way that she took Miss Wardwell's body, because she is so integral to the Dark Lord's plan, seemingly. So she wants to be that, as opposed to just be a bystander. And that's why I feel
that's
like
a great fucking idea.
She's trying to wear her down. She's trying to get all of its all of her connections severed, so she won't be found out when she takes over this body.
Well, one way she could do that, because there are a lot of the men in Sabrina's life or the people that are holding her back. She could take some delicious milkshakes and put them in a grassy area, like in the middle of everything, and lure them there to get them away from Sabrina, so Sabrina would have nothing else in her life so that she can inhabit her.
Okay,
so I'm mad at him for talking about
that? No, I don't care.
No, I'm just suggesting that perhaps she could use the milkshakes.
Let's get to the part where we say, which witch did a better job?
I'm just going to throw it out there, some sort of yard, perhaps.
Okay, what witch did a better job this episode?
That's not... It's not how it goes. Wow.
I'm just going to leave.
Which witch is so cool?
Yeah. Which witch is the Chip Witch?
that's what it is. Once again, we're sponsored by Chip Witch. We have a new sponsorship each episode.
Yeah. Thank you so much for setting that up after the Applebee's thing that happened the last episode, by the way. That was very bad.
Yeah. Well, I should have done that. And this episode, I feel so stupid.
I'm going to fucking leave. I'm going to leave. I feel so stupid. Can't get in here anymore. So tell me which witch or I'm fucking leaving.
I meant to do this commercial earlier, but today's episode is sponsored by the New York Giants. I feel so stupid. I can't believe what I said.
Okay.
The Manning family.
Right, let me cue it up. This episode only. Let's, before we end this episode, which witch reigns supreme?
There
which witch reigns supreme? Pete, kick it off. What do you think?
Hilda was amazing this episode. She really stood up to those Billies. Also, wouldn't let anybody talk smack about Auntie Z, which was great. And even talked shit to Sabrina about respecting. And she also comforted Auntie Z after she was whipping herself. I really think she's an amazing character, and every scene she's in is magical.
You know I've got that Nick Scratch fever. Nick Scratch coming up with the best spell of the episode, hammering the stakes into their footprints, locking Dorcas and Prudence in place. He's the best.
I'm going to say Agatha 100% definitely. What? Man, she was cooking. She was coughing up so much dirt.
She was cooking with dirt.
She's cooking with dirt. No, I was actually also going to say Nick Scratch, just because I love how his character is developing. So once again, you and I are in agreement.
Right on board.
Guys, we're almost done with this podcast, but if you want to support it in other podcasts that we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Please come on by. We'll cast a spooky spell on you. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on fucking Facebook so you hear about the amazing guests we have on our fucking show.
Oh my gosh.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcasts and more. Also at Riverdale Dark for our dedicated Riverdale and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Twitter feed?
Yep.
Is that what I'm looking for? Great. And guys, stay tuned. Pete is getting up to leave, but I'm going to break his leg right now. So listen.